Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Well, welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, in Atlanta, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And we have a special guest, Craig, VP of Residential Lending for Draper and Kramer in Chicago. One of our sponsors is joining us. Gentlemen, how are we feeling today? We just beat UMass 44-7, I think was the final. Yeah, 44-7 was the final score. Got some Army Navy uniforms, gearing up for the greatest rivalry in sports. So how's everybody doing? Craig?
Doing great. It's sunny here in Chicago. It's cold, but it's sunny.
That's a beautiful thing. Rob, how's Vietnam?
Yeah, it's a little bit chilly. Sun's out today, but it's going to drop into the 20s tonight. And that's unseasonably cold for North Carolina. We're usually in the 40s. But from a game perspective, the only thing I wish is I like the win. I just wish it would have happened a little bit earlier in the season so the team would have had a little bit more confidence. I think a game like that kind of builds you up and happens at a great time going into the Navy game. But I wish they would have had a couple of performances that were that powerful earlier in the season, because I think it could have made the difference in some very close contests.
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting game of what if. Dan, how are we doing up in cold coastal Connecticut?
Not too bad. I can't decide if I'm happy that it's warm or I need it to freeze so we can go skiing. But yeah, man, it's almost that time. And, you know, for what it's worth, I'd rather be a tanker / armored cavalryman than a space cadet any day of the week and twice on Saturday.
Well, that's a little precursor for what we're going to talk about in a little bit. If you don't know what he's talking about, you probably live under a rock and have not seen the new Army-Navy uniforms. Make sure to go check those out on social media. Before we get started, let's talk about BuyerBarn. Rob, over to you.
Hey, check it out, BuyerBarn, really quickly. Founded by a 97 graduate by the name of Dan Robinson. He ran a traditional farm co-op for several years, and he realizes, hey, we can modernize this thing. So he and his co-founder took their experience in IT development and built the world's first farm-to-farm online auction platform. Pretty impressive. Basically, it keeps your animals healthy, cuts down the time that they spend in pens, and they have secure transactions. So there's actually a buyer rating system. So if somebody stinks or tries to rip you off, then everybody will know. And you can limit your interactions with that seller. But the bottom line is, it's 2022 and we're having our first online animal sales auctions. It was very, very difficult to do. If you want to know more of the insides of what is going on with BuyerBarn, you can check out the interview that we did from the bye week earlier in the season. But if you have any specific questions, go to buyerbarn.com or info@buyerbarn.com, or always park yourself at the Ask for Football webpage. And there is a link on the page to get you all the information that you need to know. Back to you, Jordan.
Thanks, Rob. So let's talk UMass, right? One of the worst teams in college football, finishing the season 1-11. Army beat them 44-7. Outside the first drives by both schools, it was really kind of the Army football day. We finished with 329 yards rushing, 6 rushing touchdowns, 56 carries, averaging almost 6 yards a carry. Taylor Tyler led the way, 11 carries for 101 yards, 3 touchdowns, went 2 for 2 for passing for 67 yards. Army fullbacks also had a big day. Markel Johnson, 10 carries, 67 yards. He's a yearling listed 5'8", 202, playing that fullback position, which is an interesting kind of juxtaposition to someone like Jacoby Buchanan, who's pushing 275. Markel Johnson is fast. He's more nimble than I think what we've seen in the past from some other Army fullbacks. So excited to see his career. Jacoby Buchanan, 11 carries, 46 yards, 2 touchdowns. He looked healthier and just kind of more with it, if you will, than he has for most of the season. And then finally, Bryson Daly, quarterback of the future, 6 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown. A lot of that yardage came in a long touchdown run, but still, you know, he was in for almost the entire fourth quarter. So that was good for him to kind of get some more game exposure than, you know, running 2 plays at the end of a Defensively, we held UMass to 90 yards rushing, 3 yards a carry, 3 for 12 on third down, 0 for 1 on fourth down. We forced 3 fumbles, 2 of them were recovered, and 2 interceptions. 26 different players registered tackles in this game. Max DiDomenico led the team with 6 tackles, including a tackle for loss. Chris Frey had 3 tackles and a sack. Andre Carter had 3 tackles and 1.5 tackles for losses. DeAndre Tobias and Jadan Mays, both had interceptions. And then on special teams, Billy Boakye looked the best he has all season. He consistently had good high yardage punts, 38 yards per kick, 4 punts, all looked good. Quinn Moretzky made a 20-yard field goal, missed an extra point. All in all, pretty much everything you want to see out of the team heading into Army-Navy. Let's get some takes on the game. Rob, what did you think as you were watching?
Yeah, like I said, they needed a game like this, like week 3, probably after the Wake Forest game, to kind of recover and get their legs back underneath them. I mean, they had some good performances, again, of course, Colgate and ULM, but I think a win against the FCS team would have built their confidence a little bit more. But other than that, a win's a win. We'll take it, and I think it gives us some momentum going into next week.
Agreed. Craig, I know you said you watched a lot of the first half of the game. Overall, as a former player, what were your takes on the game, and do you think that this is a good momentum boost going into Army-Navy?
Yeah, I do. Just like Rod just said, this was a much-needed win just to get us going into Army-Navy, into a two-week break. And like you guys have said in the podcast before, everybody was involved, both offensively and defensively, so it was a complete team effort. So much-needed, right, going into this, you know, week off before Navy.
Dan?
Yeah, you know, it's true, right? UMass did all the UMass things. They had, you know, a ton of penalties that were stupid, you know, 5 potential turnovers, 4 actual turnovers, but plus an extra fumble. This is why they're 1-11. It's why Army beat them 44-7. Like, the game would have been much closer without 4 turnovers, obviously. However, it's not like this team does nothing well. Like, Don Brown is a good defensive coach. This team has a decent rushing defense. They're actively very good at third down defense. They were the 9th third round defense in the country. Like, they're very good, very good in short yardage, stop the run type situations. This same UMass team also rushed for 200 yards on Tulane, 205 on Toledo, 145 on Liberty, 113 against freaking Texas A&M. Like, Army legitimately put it on them in all the obvious ways. Yeah, like all those turnovers, all that stuff, we saw that. But also, like, they converted 7 of 14 third downs. Nobody has done that with UMass this year. And watch it back. Army was controlling the line of scrimmage, which they've not always been able to do this year. They ran the dive well. They had excellent running, power running off tackle. So I feel really good about it. You know, this Navy game is not going to be a trickeration game. It's going to be about, you know, violence at the point of attack. And I think that for this team this year looks a little different than it has in the past, but they seem to have figured out what they have that works well. And it's a pretty substantial difference from what we were seeing in the first couple of games of the season.
So, Dan, I have a question. I have a question for everybody. Ellis Merriweather absolutely shredded us on the first drive, went all the way down the field, scored points, and then started the second drive, season-ending, potentially career-ending injury. Do we think the game would have been different if he would not have gotten hurt and he would have stayed in the game? Because we did not have an answer for him on the first drive. I understand adjustments happen, stuff like that. I got that. But, you know, he was arguably their best offensive player, and, you know, it's kind of a distant second.
It looked to me like they came out ready for Brady Olsen to be throwing, and he, it's not like he didn't throw. I mean, he threw that one swing pass out to Ellis Merriweather, and, you know, the guy took it on 3rd and 16. But outside of that one play, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they get over 100 yards rushing with Ellis Merriweather in there, but they made an adjustment, and that adjustment was to sort of crowd the box and force Olsen to beat them with his arm, which that dude was not about to do. So I don't know. Take it for what it's worth.
Anyone else have a different take?
No, to answer your question, Jordan, yeah, it would have been a different game. I still think we would have won. I have confidence in Coach Woody making those adjustments like he does every game on defense.
Yeah, I think the defensive adjustments have gotten better this season compared to previous seasons, but especially as the season has gone on, especially at halftime, we usually do kind of see a second half Army team that's a little bit better, which makes me feel better going into Army-Navy, because Navy is really good at the halftime adjustment. The other question I have is around special teams. And last year, James gave us a great breakdown talking about the punting game and the field position and, you know, how essentially, you know, Army had a better punter. And because of that, we would then be able to win the field position game. And in a rivalry game like Army Navy, you know, it's they tend to be low scoring games. And so are we concerned about our special teams? I know that, you know, Billy Boakye had a good week punting this week. We've seen some very questionable punting. We've seen PATs get missed, field goals get missed, miscues on special teams the entire season. Do we think that is going to be enough to potentially sway the way Army Navy goes, or am I just worrying about nothing?
I mean, you know, you miss two extra points, a one extra point 2 weeks in a row, plus a field goal that could potentially win a game and send you to a bowl game. Then obviously there's something that you should be concerned about there with the kicking game. And the only thing you can do is, you know, run the kid out there and hope that he performs. In the punting game, however, I think Bulky's sort of getting it together. He looks monumentally better over the last couple of weeks than he has. I don't know if that's an adjustment or if he just like settled down, you know, in front of 10,000 people or something, but he looked like a legitimate Army punter out there against UMass. And I thought he punted reasonably well against UConn. I can't remember the last time. I guess the last time we saw like a terrible punt was probably Troy. But it wasn't like that was the only thing we saw. So yeah, I don't know, man. I was encouraged, greatly encouraged by special teams this week.
Yeah, the only thing I'll chime in with is like, hey, let's not put them in the position where it matters, you know. And I think that's really ultimately what it does, because you already put a pressure packed situation. It's already difficult enough being a kicker because you've got to, you know, make things happen basically by yourself. Like, yeah, you got people blocking for you and everything else, but you know the accuracy of the kick is based off of your performance. And so don't put him in the position where he has to get in his head, and then we shouldn't have to worry about it. I think, like Dan said, lots of improvements, and I think we've seen improvements across the board this season. So let's not put the kickers in a position where they have to do that. I'll pause there.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Rob, and you know I agree. I don't like when a football game comes down to, you know, kicking an extra point. But just something that a trend I've noticed this season that I'm concerned about. Put it on Twitter, and people were quite upset that I said that. So wanted to get everyone else's. Let's move on and talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good out of this UMass game was our power running offense. We have outstanding tackles, running two fullback sets this week and just smashing people, especially out of the unbalanced look. Really placed the quarterback strengths. It worked well against a bunch of really good rushing defenses this season. And we saw Army finishing drives this week. That was so key and something we have not done this season. We'll go all the way down the field and then something will happen. We'll get a 15-yard penalty, whatever it is, and then we have to punt or try to keep the field. We actually finished drives this week. And part of that was wide receiver Isaiah Alston's catch, literally a top 10 highlight on SportsCenter. That was just incredible. When I saw the play develop, I thought, oh, there's no way, you know, maybe we'll get a PI, but he managed to pull that in one-handed and then still get 10 yards on the run. That was incredible. We also saw Army throw into tight ends. Josh Lingenfelter had a catch. Four turnovers got us to plus +3 on the year, which is 47th in the country. And we got to play a lot of young players. We got to see Bryson Daly. We got to see Marco Johnson. And both of those guys, you know, looked really good. They looked confident playing. Bryson Daly scored again. Little early to talk about this, but Dan is pretty convinced that the Army offense is going to be legit next year. Daly and 4 out of 5 offensive linemen return, along with all the fullbacks but Buchanan. So bringing back a lot of talent, a lot of experienced talent. So it'll be interesting to see offensively what we're able to do next year and, you know, over the next 2 years. Dan, over to you for the bad.
Yeah, we already talked about this, but, you know, giving up that 3rd and 16 on UMass's first down on first drive, that was so frustrating because, you know, they basically missed a tackle there. And, you know, you get a sack on the first play of the game and you could almost see the defense like, oh yeah, we got this. Watch this. And then they give up that 3rd and 16 and then UConn marches right down the field and it's like, what is this? And then obviously, you know, missed another extra point this week on the low kick. Look, when he gets the kicks up, they're going in. And when he doesn't get the kicks up, they're getting blocked. So that's not complicated, but we got to get those extra points in there.
Rob, what are the ugly?
All right. The ugly real quick, just the injuries. Again, we mentioned it already. Merriweather's injury was pretty bad, man. It probably ended his college career and you don't want to see that. Like a guy getting hurt yeah, it sucks, but a guy getting hurt and ending his career is terrible. And then, of course, Cade Ballard went out with looked like what was a shoulder injury. Don't know. I'm not a doctor. But he was in for about three plays, and then he's out. Again, Army has plenty of depth in the quarterback room, but you never want to see a guy go down, particularly in a senior campaign, and particularly a guy that's as a big a fan favorite as Cade Ballard. And I'll pause there.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, Ballard's ballarding. Ballard has battled injuries, you know, most of his Army career. So sad that, you know, he's getting hurt here on the tip of it. Let's go ahead and review fact or fiction from last week. And Dan said we see all four quarterbacks in the game. That was a fact. Rob was the only one that disagreed. Rob said Army forces two turnovers. That was fact. We had fact agreement. And then James said Army scores 40 plus, and that was also fact agreement. So that's the UMass game. That's what happened. Dan, over to you for the second half of the show.
All right. So we have, as noted, Craig Oxane, the vice president of residential lending. I can't talk for Draper and Kramer in Chicago. As I've told you guys a million times, he's a member of the class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. Today, we are here to introduce you to this man who has been sponsoring us now for a little over a year, you know, become a good friend of mine. And I'm excited that you guys get a chance to get to know him. As we've said, you know, this is how the West Point Network functions. Greg is helping us stay in business here at Azure Football. We're trying to help him find mortgage clients. And, you know, we're trying to introduce you guys who are moving every 2 to 3 years as part of your Army career to the guy who can help you get a mortgage that is going to be beneficial to you. So, Craig, man, I know we already said how you doing, but seriously this time, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I want to thank you guys right off the bat for everything you do. I'm a big fan. I was a fan long before I became a sponsor. And it was just by chance that I reached out to you one time, Dan, and said, hey, do you need a sponsor? And you luckily responded. So I appreciate everything you guys do. And I know not only myself, but there's a lot of my classmates and people that I know that listen to the podcast as well.
Yeah, I think for better or worse, we're sort of trending a little older just because of the people that we know. It might also be that the college football experience is something that speaks to the older grads a little more. I don't know. If you're a younger grad out there and you really love Army football, reach out to us and let's start that debate. But anyway, all right. So Craig, I actually know what year you graduated, but just tell us a little bit about yourself, like, you know, companies and your major and branch and all that stuff.
Yeah, I graduated in 1994.
Oof, that was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. You can tell if you have video by my gray hair. So, but yeah, I was in two companies. That's when we scrambled. For my first 2 years, I was in F3, then the last two in A2. So Ghost Spartans. Yeah,
awesome.
I majored in engineering management with a mechanical track. And because of football injuries, I ended up branching quartermaster.
Oh, wow. How interesting. Okay. Where'd you go?
I was only in active about 2.5 years. So I was only at two duty stations. I went to basic at Fort Lee. And then I was at Hunter Army Airfield in the 24th Corps Support Group for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Yo, that's good. That's a good duty if you can get it. Hunter is in a good location.
Yes.
Oh, man. All right. So as we said, you know, you played football at West Point. What did you play and what sort of brought you to the academy on your football journey?
Yeah, I played strong safety for a couple of years before injuries, you know.
Yeah.
Took over my career. But like you guys, I'm a patriot. I wanted to go to West Point. I had a kind of a role model at my high school that went to West Point, played in the Sun Bowl team. He was class of 91, Joe Gutenberg.
Oh, awesome.
So I kind of always looked up to Joe and wanted a different kind of college experience and wanted to play football at the highest level I could. So that's really what brought me to the academy.
Oh, that's awesome. And you recruited athlete?
I was recruited, you know, we played a 5-2 defense and I played strong safety in high school and it was the exact same defense we played at Army at the time.
What did you think of the transition going from high school to Army athletics? Like, was it, oh my God, these guys are so much better than me, or, oh no, I think I can hang with these guys?
A little bit of both. I mean, yeah. You know, Rob and I before the show had a good conversation because we both grew up in Western Pennsylvania, which at the time had really good high school football. There was a little bit of both. I mean, I think I'll never forget being on the bus going up to the stadium for the first time, seeing some of the upperclassmen, thinking to myself, I am in trouble. But then again, you start playing football and football's football. And I, you know, I had a lot of confidence coming from that background that, hey, I played against a lot of good players in high school and I can do this.
Yeah. Awesome. That's awesome. So you got any thoughts on the current team, current season?
I do. I mean, I'm a big fan of Coach Mike.
Sure, sure. Let's have it. Keep it positive. It's a positive. Kids, a family-friendly show.
It's all positive. I think we're a young team. I'm just like you. I'm excited for next year. I think, what do we lose, 4 or 5 starters?
Yeah, not that many.
Yeah, not that many. I think we're bringing back a lot of good players. I think, you know, outside of us having a really tough schedule next year, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
But no, I like our team. I like where we're at. I like where we're at is as far as a program, you know, with the new stadium addition, all that good stuff. I think we're in a good position. It's a little bit weird with what's going on in college football with the divisions and everybody moving around. I'm concerned a little bit about, you know, not being in a conference and where does that leave us moving forward, and how does NIL affect us and the transfer portal, all that stuff.
Sure, sure.
But hopefully we can get ourselves through it.
We've talked about that a lot, and I would like to know how much NIL money is out there for kids who are like 3-star athletes. My sense is it's not that much, but, you know, what do I know? I know they got girls volleyball players out there making hundreds of thousands of dollars on Instagram, which I find wild. Like, that is wild to me, but it's the truth. So, all right. So let's talk business a little bit, right? Everybody listens to the show, so they know that you are a vice president of residential lending for Draper and Kramer. How did you wind up in the mortgage lending business? I got to be honest with you. It never occurred to me that that's what I should do with myself.
Yeah, no one goes to college wanting to be a mortgage lender. I think my occupation, like a lot of occupations out there, no one plans on being. You just kind of fall into it.
Sure.
Like the normal guy getting out of the military and what I get out in 96, ended up going to a big corporation, and then they moved me to Chicago, and I realized that I did like real estate. Started investing in small properties myself. And then it was through another West Point connection that I met the original guy who hired me into the business, who was a friend of a friend of a friend. And he ran a mortgage company and said, hey, I'd love, you know, you're a good sales guy. Why wouldn't you come work for me? And I remember saying to him, like, I don't know what you do. I got involved with him and in the business and realized, hey, it's 100% commission. It's 100% referral. And I was a young single guy and I liked people and I could do this. And it's, you know, if you have that kind of, you know, like at the point I did have a lot of sales background.
Sure.
I was willing to take a chance on myself. So I did. And, you know, like in my business, you build a base of referral sources, and that's what it becomes over time.
So I got to say, the one part of that that really sticks out in my mind, and I'm sure Jordan can appreciate this too, is that, you know, you had a lot of sales experience and you've had a lot of sales success, because I bet that 30% of my classmates are like high level sales guys somewhere in the financial industry. Mm-hmm. And they're all really, really good at it. And it's crazy how reciting the freaking minutes while people are screaming at you prepares you to sort of think on your feet in situations like that and come across in a friendly way. But there must be something to it, because a whole lot of West Pointers are really good at it.
Yeah. It's, you know what? It's a contact sport. And I don't think, being through what we've all been through, it doesn't faze me or you or anybody on this call to pick up the phone and call somebody, introduce yourself and say, this is what I do. I'd love to help you. Can I help? You know?
Yeah. All right. So, Jordan, you want to jump in there? You got anything to add before we sort of get into the more nitty gritty of this interview?
Why Chicago? Why have you stayed in Chicago?
It's because I met my wife here. I'm forced to.
Oh, okay. Got it. No. Okay.
I actually, you know, met my wife, you know, moved to Chicago, not knowing a soul. Switched industry, switched jobs.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, got, you know, and made a lot of friends. Chicago's a great big town. And obviously, just like everyone else, I met a woman here, got married. Start having kids. We actually live in the suburbs. Actually, I live in Northwest Indiana, which is like a suburb of Chicago. That's where I'm calling you guys from today. But no, this is where we made a life. So
we've talked on the show before about how you're licensed to lend in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. If you could live anywhere in the country, all 50 states, where would you live? And you can't say Chicago.
Business perspective, weather. I mean, obviously, I'd like to be somewhere warmer than Chicago right now.
Sure.
You know, my mother-in-law's family is all from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I do love Nashville. It's a great town. We actually have a lot of friends there. So I'd probably say Nashville.
Okay. I can respect that. I've thought about moving to Nashville every now and then.
Yeah. It's a great place.
All right. So it seems like a tricky time in the housing market right now. Like interest rates are bouncing all over the place. If I was looking for a house or trying to sell one, I think I would have chronic anxiety. Like, you got any insights for us? Because of the people listening to this podcast, 75% of them are probably going to move in the next 2 years, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Obviously, right now, you see a lot of stuff in the press. Yeah. In the press, as we all know, they're putting out as much good information as bad. Even though, you know, on the Wall Street Journal every day, they're talking about high rates. A lot of what they're talking about is short-term interest rates, not long-term interest rates. Already, we've seen mortgage interest rates come down. They're already in the lower sixes. You know, they kind of topped off at, you know, 7.5-ish. So, and I keep telling people every day, everybody in real estate's looking for the deal. Right now, with inflation and job security, if you are gainfully employed, not worried about losing your job, now is a great time to buy, just because rates are going to come back down. You can always refinance. And right now, it's become more of a buyer's market than a seller's market. You know, 6 months ago in the spring, it was, you know, you would get 20 offers over list price in 2 days.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
Sure.
That's not happening anymore. And those of us like that live in the Midwest or the Northwest, Northeast, there is a buying season that normally starts at Super Bowl and kind of starts dying down after Halloween. So, you know, we are kind of in that time of the year where it's normally slow because, you know, if you're going to sell your house, you're probably not going to do it around the holidays. You don't want people traipsing through your home in December.
Not on purpose. Yeah.
So but I would tell people right now, if you own a home, you've always been interested in a second home, great time to buy a second home, great time to get in an investment home too.
All right. Last question on business. If I was going to buy a house with mortgage rates where they are right now, I would strongly consider an ARM, you know, like one of those 5-year ARMs that were in vogue right before everything exploded in 2008. This is insane. Yes or no?
No. Depending on the individual and their risk tolerance, I would tell people, yeah, do an ARM, a 5, 7, or 10 year ARM, just because, and this isn't just my opinion, most experts and bond experts think that in the next 12 to 24 months, you are going to see mortgage rates come back down. Are they going to go back down into the 2s and 3s that we saw in 2020? No, they're probably going to be in like the high 4s, low 5s. So, you know, it's kind of relative. And also right now with the supply of homes, you're going to continue to see the value of homes go north. So,
yeah. All right. So, moving back to the West Point section of this podcast, what are your thoughts on Army Navy this year? Who's winning the game and what's the critical matchup?
I am cautiously optimistic. Last year I was overconfident and we got beat.
So yeah, that was my fault. I did that.
That UMass game was very needed for confidence. Navy's been playing well though. So, but it's always a dogfight and it's kind of like we owe them one. So that's why I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't, you know, even if we do win, it's not going to be by much. I think the big matchup is, and Jordan kind of talked about this, is it was really nice seeing our offense finish drives. I kind of feel like this offense has been, can't get over the hump all year. We've been able to have long drives and not score. Finally, we're able to do that. But I'd like to see us do that against a really good team. I think Navy's a much better team than we've been able to beat this year. So
very good.
Hope we
thoughts
do
on the uniforms?
I think we won the uniform battle again. I know I'm very biased. I love video about with the astronaut and, you know, Navy trying to claim NASA.
Yeah. That was the Dean, but yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, pretty funny. I do like our uniforms better than theirs.
All right. So last question. You got it. Well, let me just mine in, then I'll throw it over to Rob. But you got a favorite memory as a cadet, and are you going to game? So that's two, and they have nothing to do with each other.
Right. I'm not going to the game, but I'm considering going to the bowl game if they are lucky to get into a bowl game. I don't even know if they're able to this year with only.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think my favorite memory, I was thinking about this before. I think it's a very common cadet memory. My second semester senior year in A2 had our crew of guys there was a wonderful group of guys. Everybody in that company loved each other. And I roomed with a great guy. Shout out to Joe Guzman. He was my roommate second semester senior.
Oh, man. I know Joe. Yeah.
And so Joe and I were roommates. And we always joke that our room was like the party room, because our room was always the room that everybody congregated before we went out. And it was pretty wild, but those were good memories. It was good. You know, you didn't realize at the time we were never going to see this group of guys ever again together our entire lives. So
that's awesome. Rob, you got anything?
Yeah, my big question is, you know, after spending all those years in Western Pennsylvania watching football, how do you think, and this is completely not related to Army, but how do you think football in Western Pennsylvania pans out now by comparison to when you were there? Because I know my high school has not done well since I graduated, and I'd like to say that I was a reason for that, but I know there's probably some other contributing factors. But how do you think the state of the state in Pennsylvania for football and recruiting is?
I think it's changed since you and I were in high school. I think enrollments are down. Because the numbers are down, there's not as much talent there as there used to be. I know that because even at my high school, you know, my parents still go to every high school home game.
Wow.
Pretty That's involved. Awesome. My mom was our athletic director secretary even when I was in high school. So I kind of always had a pretty good pulse. And as you know, Rob, the high school that I went to is pretty good high school football. But I don't think it was nearly as good as it was when we were there. You know, that's sadly, you see the local colleges, you see Pitt, Penn State, West Virginia, not recruiting Western Pennsylvania as hard as they used to.
Yeah. I also attribute that to, you know, when you think about the backyard brawl, you know, that's one of the things that kind of went away in the evolution of conference realignment. And I talk about that one all the time, because I remember watching it in high school and seeing the intensity between, you know, Pitt and West Virginia. And that really impacted like the future, because it's just like every other rivalry in state, you know, that's basically as close as you get to an in-state rivalry with Pennsylvania and West Virginia. And it impacts the overall game and it kind of just elevates the sport for everyone. But I'll pass it back over to Jordan, because I am out of words.
One more question, Craig. How has Zillow changed your side of the business? I know for, you know, realtors, things are a little bit different. Has Zillow impacted what you do at all?
No. Yes and no. When Zillow first came out with what they were doing years ago, I think there was just like when any kind of technology is infused in an industry, you know, there's some people who early adopt that and hop on and they're all about Zillow. But over time, any kind of technology solution in any industry, over time, it kind of evens out. You know, like I said, my business is by referral and it's all about relationships. It's all about working with people, not only locally, but all over the country. Zillow is very transactional, you know, and we could talk about any industry. We're talking anything, whether it's, you know, eBay or Amazon, like, you know, how's Amazon affected retail? How does, you know, eBay affected retail? All that stuff. But not so much on the lending, because they haven't really, you know, Rocket and a lot of the online solutions like that are big, they have affected it a little bit more than a Zillow.
Okay. Like it, but you know, you talk about your relationships and stuff like that. You mentioned eBay, like, you know, if you're going to go like get a suit on eBay, there's a type of person that's going to go to Amazon and go buy a suit. And there's another type of person that's going to go into a store and get something made. Is the same type of person, like, do you have the relationship with the same type of person that they're going to go out and download the Rocket app and, you know, get a mortgage on their phone? Or is it two totally different types of people?
I always tell people that usually if somebody uses Rocket or one of those online technology solutions, they only do it once because they're going to try something different the next time anyways, just because they're curious. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you know, with buying a home, you are buying the biggest asset and the biggest liability to that point in your life. Why do you want to hand all of that over to an app that you don't even know, to an organization that's kind of nameless and faceless, that doesn't have any accountability? You know, a lot of the things that we've discussed, and I've talked about this with Dan, the reality of my job is I'm putting myself out here saying, hey, guys, I'm a West Pointer too. I will take care of you. Mm-hmm. Because I know that if I screw up a deal that comes from this podcast, somebody's going to reach back out to one of you guys and say, hey, that guy, Craig, he's terrible. He, you know, don't use him ever again or whatever. There's a little bit of accountability. It behooves me to help people not only get through their real estate transaction, but do it and have a great experience doing it, because I want to build those referrals coming in the future as well.
So let me just say the inverse of that has absolutely happened, which is that several of our members of the Firstie Club have used you and then come back, and they've all talked about what a great experience it is comparatively with a bunch of the other stuff that they've done. So And even one of my friends who ended up going through a different guy after talking to you said that, you know, you were twice as easy to work with as the person that ended up doing it. And I don't like, people make crazy decisions all the time, but it was, yeah, it was, we've heard nothing but excellent things. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, and that's why I appreciate what you say every week, Dan.
Well, I'm happy to help, right? Anyway. All right, Jordan. Craig, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time today. Why don't you take us through this mailing list commercial and then let's close it up.
Sure. Well, hey, do you like Army football but hate social media? Who doesn't? Social media is terrible. There's a lot of chaos right now in the social media space, as you probably know. Skip all that. Skip the drama. Go to askforfootball.com/subscribe. Get on our mailing list. We send out one email per week with that week's content. That's it. It's too easy. We don't spam you during the off season. We don't send you an email every day. We don't send you 46 emails about our Black Friday or Cyber Monday deal. That's it. One email a week. Keep up with Army sports and Ask for Football. Let's talk about our favorite thing. Might get a little controversial here. Dan, you put Army uniform reveal, Iron Soldiers versus Space Cadets. I know you feel pretty adamantly that Navy's uniform is essentially the Ole Miss travel uniform with a NASA sticker on it. Well, do you still feel that way?
Anybody can Google Ole Miss travel uniforms and see Navy's current Army-Navy uniform. I mean, they changed enough to avoid the copyright infringement, but only just barely. I mean, I think legitimately the only difference between those uniforms is, you know, one of them has a spaceman and the other one is like, you know, the Ole Miss logo. And then Ole Miss, I think, has got two stripes on the shoulders versus Navy's one. But that's, yo, I scratched my head looking at those uniforms for a week before I realized where I'd seen them before. It is what it is, you know, cadet borrowed, work cited, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, space uniforms. Oh, okay, that's cool. Well, UCF's been doing space uniforms every year for the last 5 or 6 years. Purdue does the space uniform every year. I think there's another school that did. So Navy's like the third or fourth school this year to do a space uniform. It doesn't really seem unique and special. I think Air Force did one too. It's just, I don't know. It seems kind of overplayed.
Well, yeah. I mean, I call them the space cadet uniforms. But if I tell you an academy is going to do a space cadet uniform, which academy is that?
Not Navy.
No, not Navy. It's weird. It's just so weird. But you know, I don't know, man. What do I know? I'm just sitting here.
So, again, for me, it always boils down to your three friends, right? Pride, dignity, and respect. Are you going to rock that jersey with pride, dignity, and respect after the game is over, win, lose, or draw? I don't think so. I think it's all about the resale market, but I don't see a resale market for like NASA stuff. What are they going to do? Give it to the International Space Station? I mean, I have no idea, but it looks like, Navy's just trying to do something different, and I'm not a fan. I do like the Army uniforms and the embellishment and the history and everything else that kind of goes with it. And I think that is – honestly, that's the biggest difference. It's, you know, something that was just put together versus something that was well thought out. And I think the Army uniforms year after year since 16 have been a lot more well thought out.
No, I agree. And, you know, I think 16 was probably my favorite uniform that we've done. Don't cancel me, but I got them. I don't love our uniforms this year. I've heard that they look a lot better in person. Love the history on them. I think they're cool. I just, that bright yellow block lettering is, I don't know. I can't see past it.
Well, I'll give you the same defense to that critique that I would give to Navy's critique, which is, hey, all these Army uniforms use the same palette of green. And I'm just going to say, this is the Army. I mean, those uniforms look like they came out of the Army, for better or worse. They're. I mean, I like that armored look. I like these better, for example, than the 25th ID uniforms that are, you know, basically similar, you know, green with white instead of green with yellow. But I personally prefer this. And the whole, like, an Army at dawn, that Rick Atkinson book is one of my favorites. And I wrote this on Twitter. I feel like that whole campaign and the book and just the way it played out is sort of similar to this Army season in the sense that it didn't get off on the foot that you would think it was. It wasn't overly successful up all the way until the midpoint, but then they made the changes that they needed to make, and that set them up on the road to success in the war overall. So I maybe that's my former tanker historian coming out and sort of seeing what I want to see in these uniforms, but they spoke to me pretty directly.
All right, Craig, did the uniforms speak to you this year?
I kind of agree with you. I think they're okay this year. They're still better than Navy's. I like a lot of the uniforms in the past a lot better that Nike's done.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite's the 82nd a few years ago. Those and the all white, what was it, 10th Mountain?
10th Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Those are my two favorites. I hate the first cab uniforms. I think these are a lot better than that. But I don't know. Like I said, apparently they look a lot better in person. I'm sure they'll look even better, you know, running onto the field and hopefully holding the, what is it, the Commander's Cup or the Secretary, whatever we get when we beat Navy next Saturday. So with that, thank you for listening to the Astro Football Army Football Show. We will have another show next week before the Army-Navy game, so listen into that. But thank you for listening, Craig. Thank you for joining, and go Army, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Beat Navy.
Beat them. Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to FireBarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, FireBarn.com to learn more. Or to get started, email them at info@FireBarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.